This meeting to order this morning. We have we only have 17 bills to hear today, one of which is eligible for a vote. Our remaining items are suspense items. There are a few committees meeting this morning, so we want to be prudent. Why don't we begin with Senator Monning, who has a due pass recommendation, and then we'll move to Senator Hannibal Jackson after that. Senator Monning, you do enjoy a due pass recommendation on SB. Oh, let's establish quorum first. That would be a good idea, right? Why don't we establish quorum? Secretary, please call the roll.
Laura?
Here.
Laura here. Bates?
Here.
Bates here. Bell? Bradford? Hill?
Here.
Hill here. Nielsen? Wiener?
Here.
Wiener here.
We have a quorum. Senator Monning, you have two items before our committee. SB 158 does have a due pass recommendation. And are you waiving presentation on 295, or are you presenting?
Brief presentation.
Okay, why don't we begin with the due pass, the item that has a due pass recommendation, SB 158, members.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. Briefly, want to remind you that currently when someone wants to drive a large truck, a passenger bus, or other commercial vehicle in California, they must obtain a commercial driver's license by simply passing a DMV written test and a short behind-the-wheel driving test. Senate Bill 158 will change this by requiring the Department of Motor Vehicles to implement a new federal rule issued by the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration that will require minimum training standards for entry-level commercial drivers by 2020. Through implementation of this new federal rule, California will require new drivers seeking a CDL to complete a training course of instruction before being issued a commercial license. SB 158 will additionally require the completion of a minimum number of hours of behind-the-wheel training to ensure that new drivers have adequate on-the-road experience before being licensed. By ensuring that commercial truck drivers are receiving an acceptable standard of training and sufficient time behind the wheel, we can reduce the risk of tragic and fatal accidents in California, help ensure safe roadways for all drivers. Members, I'd ask that you offer an aye vote on SB 158.
Witnesses in support, please come forward. Witnesses in opposition. Finance is not here today. Comments or questions from committee? There is a motion. Senator Monning, would you like to close?
Respectfully ask for an aye vote. Thank you.
There is a motion. The motion is due pass to the Senate floor. It's a motion by Senator Hill. Secretary, please call the roll.
Laura?
Aye.
Laura, aye. Bates?
Aye.
Bates, aye. Bell? Bradford? Hill?
Aye.
Hill, aye. Nielsen? Wiener?
Aye.
Wiener, aye.
Currently, it's 4-0. Senator Monning, we're going to keep that item open to allow absent members to add on. Your next item is SB 295.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. I know this is a candidate for suspense. I wanted to provide some brief information on SB 295. 2 years ago, I authored SB 1087 in response to widespread reports of farm worker abuse by both licensed and unlicensed farm labor contractors. SB 1087 amended the State Farm Labor Contractor Act to mandate sexual harassment prevention training for licensees and their supervisors, as well as require that all non-supervisorial employees, including agricultural employees, be trained at the time of hire and at least once every 2 years. Unfortunately, since then, it appears that many farm labor contractors are not following the sexual harassment prevention training requirements. Farm workers are not being trained in a language they understand, or they're not being trained at all. Others are being trained inadequately, and many receive no record of their training as required. In response, I've authored SB 295 this year, which authorizes a state labor commissioner to cite farm labor contractors who have not complied with SB 1087. The bill also requires farm labor contractors to annually disclose to the labor commissioner the training materials being used and report the total number of farm workers who've been trained in the previous calendar year. SB 295 brings greater transparency to the sexual harassment training being given by farm labor contractors and will, in essence, make sure that it actually happens. I'd respectfully ask for an aye vote at the appropriate time. I do have one witness with some brief comments in support, with the permission of the chair.
Witnesses in support.
Mr. Chairman and members, Mark Schacht with California Rural Legal Assistance Foundation, as sponsors of the bill. Just wanted to comment on the fiscal. We give the labor commissioner new tools to attack sexual harassment in the industry, but they're discretionary. So to the extent that she manages her caseload and citation revenue offsets costs of enforcement, I would respectfully suggest that the bill deserves to get off suspense, so we'd ask for your support.
Thank you. Additional witnesses in support. Witnesses in opposition. Finance is not here. We'll bring it back to the committee. Comments or questions from committee members? Seeing, hearing none, Senator Mani, would you like to close?
Respectfully, we'll ask for an aye vote at the appropriate time. I know it's a candidate for suspense. Thank you, Mr. Chair and members.
Thank you. Without objection, we move this item to the suspense file. Senator Hannabeth Jackson. Senator Jackson, members, has one item, SB 63, which is a candidate for suspense. Senator Jackson, the floor is yours.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair and members. Recognizing this is a suspense candidate, I would like to make sure we evaluate what this bill does and does not do. So I am here to present it. It is the new Parent Leave Act. This is a California Legislative Women's Caucus priority bill. It is very similar to a bill I authored last year. It will provide 12 weeks of unpaid but job-protected maternity and paternity leave for Californians who work for smaller employers of 20 employees or more, so that they can bond with a new child without fear of losing their jobs. Under current law in California, only employees who work for businesses of 50 employees or more are eligible for this job-protected parental leave. That leaves more than 40% of California workers at risk of losing their jobs if they take advantage of the California Paid Family Leave Program, which they are already paying into. This is an entirely worker-funded program, financed through payroll deductions through our state's existing disability insurance program. There are enormous benefits to family leave that I think is important to note when considering the fiscal impacts of this bill. It is an economic necessity today in most California households that both parents work. Indeed, approximately 71% of American women with children are in the workforce. Studies have shown that mothers who take family leave are more likely to be working a year later than those who did not take family leave, thus decreasing the need for public assistance and other state aid. In addition, research shows that women who took leave and returned to jobs worked 15 to 20% more hours during the second year of their child's life than those who did not take leave, and their hourly wages increased by about 5%. All this translates into greater stability for families and more tax dollars and economic benefit for California. California is now falling behind 9 other states and the District of Columbia when it comes to job-protected parental leave for employees of smaller businesses, and it's time we caught up. I have here today 2 people to testify in support of this bill. Jenna Gary, who is a staff attorney at Legal Aid at Work and a member of the California Work and Family Coalition, and Mariko Yoshihara with the California Employment Lawyers Association. I realize this is a suspense measure, but I would respectfully ask for your aye vote at the
Thank you. Witnesses in support.
Thank you. My name is Jenna Gary, and I'm an attorney with Legal Aid at Work, and we're a nonprofit public interest legal organization that advocates for the rights of low-wage workers. So I'm here today as a co-sponsor, and at first I just wanted to thank Senator Jackson for her leadership on this important issue. So simply put, SB 63 helps fulfill the promise California made decades ago when it passed the paid family leave program, when it recognized that parents needed to be there for their children during this critical time. But without job protection, with risk losing your job, paid family leave is meaningless. So we know that studies show that since PFL was enacted, small businesses have actually been more supportive of PFL than large employers. They've reported that PFL has either a positive effect or no noticeable effect on productivity, morale, profitability, or performance, turnover. Also, a recent survey, a 2017 survey by the Small Business Majority, found that a vast majority, 71% of small business owners, support expanding job protection for family and medical leave to businesses with 20 or more employees, exactly what SB 63 is doing. Similarly, a 2017 survey by the Main Street Alliance of over 1,500 small business owners across 13 states that found that a majority supported paid family leave. Among female business owners and business owners of color, the support rose to 76%. So in short, allowing workers to access paid family leave benefits that they pay for is good for workers, employers, and the state alike. It creates stability for working families and communities when workers are able to maintain their employment while bonding with a new child, and decreases the need for unemployment and other state-funded benefits. So for these reasons, respectfully ask for your support and I vote on this important legislation. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. Mariko Yoshihara with the California Employment Lawyers Association. I just wanted to quickly give the perspective of a new parent who came to one of our attorneys after losing her job just weeks after having a new child. In response, she wrote a letter to this in support of this bill. In her experience, after losing her job, she wrote, "I was now home with an infant, without work, without insurance, without everything I thought I would have upon returning to work after having my baby. Let me state that this was the scariest, most humbling experience of my life because I was forced to go on government assistance for the first time in my life. I believe this is an extremely important issue and would like to see the legislation passed to ensure women have the time they need after having a child." So we think that SB 63 really helps women with stability, new parents. It also benefits new fathers as well. And even there's a minimal cost to the state in terms of enforcement, but when you compare it to the societal and economic benefits of providing this job protection, we think it's a very important bill and respectfully ask for your support.
Thank you. Additional witnesses in support.
John Lovell, Association for Los Angeles Deputy Sheriffs, Association of Deputy District Attorneys, California College and University Police Chiefs Association, California Association of Code Enforcement Officers, Los Angeles County Professional Peace Officers Association, California Narcotic Officers Association, Los Angeles Police Protective League, and Riverside Sheriffs Association, all in support.
Thank you.
Brian Howe with California Federation of Teachers. We're in strong support. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, members, thank you. Christopher Castrillo on behalf of the City and County of San Francisco and the Office of Mayor Ed Lee in support.
Danny Kando-Kaiser on behalf of Common Sense Kids Action. We have awarded this bill our star rating in strong support. Thank you.
Margo Grant Gould, the First Five Association, representing all 58 local First Five commissions and our First Five California state partner, in strong support of this bill.
Jessica Bartholow with the Western Center on Law and Poverty in support.
Mr. Chair and members, Gregory Kramer on behalf of Planned Parenthood Affiliates of California. We took a support position after the committee deadline for letters, but we do support. Thank you.
Maya Ingram, ACLU of California in support.
Thank you. Additional witnesses in support, witnesses in opposition, please come forward.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and committee members. Jennifer Brewer on behalf of the California Chamber of Commerce, and we'll try to keep our comments related to the fiscal concerns, although we do have policy concerns. We, as employers, support family leave, and that's why most of our employers, the majority of our employers, already provide family leave without the threat of a mandate and litigation as a result of violating any one of the requirements in part of the job. So we are not opposed to the family leave policy. What we are concerned with is exposure to litigation for these small employers. As your analysis correctly points out, there's a risk of at least 400 new complaints going through the Department of Fair Employment and Housing as a result of this bill with regards to small employers who don't have a dedicated human resource staff, who don't have dedicated legal attorneys working for them, trying to figure out how they comply with this bill and the challenges that they're going to face as a result of it. There was a study a couple of years ago that said just to defend a single plaintiff fair employment and housing claim costs a small employer $125,000 just to defend it. Employers don't have that kind of profit to apply to a defense case for some claim that may or may not have merit. We have concerns with that. Last year we offered amendments to try and mitigate those concerns by having these small employers and the plaintiff and the employee plaintiff go through a mitigation or a mediation before they went to civil litigation so that there was a chance for early settlement, which would put the employee potentially back to work earlier and would eliminate the cost of exposure for litigation to the small employer. Those amendments weren't taken, and it's one of the basis for why the governor ultimately vetoed the bill last year, which actually was more limited in scope because it was only 6 weeks of protected leave instead of the proposal for 12 weeks. So we do have concerns with the cost that this is going to impose on small employers, and that's one of the fiscal reasons why we are opposed to this bill. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, Chris McKaylee, on behalf of the California Ambulance Association, we remain opposed on policy grounds, as Ms. Barrera indicated, and would note that this bill is substantially broader than what was vetoed by the governor last year. Thank you.
Thank you. Additional witnesses in opposition.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members. Matthew Allen with Western Growers Association, also opposed.
Danielle DeVos-Sires, Civil Justice Association of California, we also oppose.
Brian Little with the California Farm Bureau Federation, also in opposition. Thank you.
Thank you. Finance is not here. We'll bring it back to the committee. Any comments or questions from the committee members? Senator Jackson, I want to thank you for your work on this issue, but I think the opposition did bring some valid points. Are you planning on addressing those throughout?
Well, we have. The big concern that we keep hearing about is the cost of litigation. There's a process, there are two processes already in place that talk about a process for dispute resolution through the Department of Fair Employment and Housing. And if I could just find that section. We've been trying to identify what are legitimate versus sort of sky is falling concerns that we hear every time we try to advance the cause of families in the workplace. So there are already multiple mediation options that are currently available. And this is one of the things the governor mentioned in his veto last year. So it's worth noting, as I mentioned, that we have these two opportunities currently available through the Department of Fair Employment and Housing, one of which is mandatory. The governor, in his veto message, interestingly enough, did not reference the need for mandatory mediation. But let's set the context here. You have people who are about to have a new child. To have to mediate whether or not they should be able to take parental leave. I mean, the fact is they're having a new baby, and they need the time and should be able to have the time, and nine other states in the District of Columbia have already established that they should have the time. It's a priority. It's a social priority. Do we want to give new parents time to bond with their children? We know there's an economic benefit. We also know that it reduces postpartum depression in women by a full one-third. So all that postpartum depression that we see, we can reduce by a third by just giving a new parent, a new mom, that opportunity to spend 12 weeks bonding with her new baby. We know it helps men to create a lifetime bond, and we haven't mentioned the baby yet, but let's mention the baby because we know the American Academy of Pediatrics says 12 weeks is the time that a newborn needs to have to bond with a new parent before we put those children in childcare for a variety of reasons, both the developmental stages, the mental health, the physical health of a newborn. 12 weeks is the appropriate time according to the experts. And to the extent we're still relying on science, they're the experts. So once they file a complaint, so mediation, if we really need to go there, because I think in this instance, a person sits down with the employer, they're an employer of 20 to 49 employees, because after 49, the employer is required to provide job-protected unpaid leave, just job protection. That's what we're looking for here. And they sit down with their employer and they say, I'm due to have a baby on X date. I would like the opportunity to have those 12 weeks to bond with my newborn, be assured that my job is still there. The employer can say, can we negotiate this? Well, we can give you 12 weeks, but there's a period of time during that period where we are particularly busy. Would you be able or willing to try to work something out during that period of time? You will find most employees, they don't want to fight with their employer. They want to be assured once they have a new baby, they can come back to work. So this notion we're going to have all this litigation is just one of those sky is falling sort of memes and knee-jerk reactions that we keep hearing every time we try to do something to create more work life balance in our communities. And they all seem to work. The sky has not fallen on business in this state. So Once a complaint is filed, employees through the Department of Fair Employment and Housing, employees are given the option to try, they're given an option. Would you like to try voluntary mediation before a complaint is investigated? If that fails, DFEH then investigates the complaint. That's why we're here, because it's anticipated that perhaps at the beginning of this process, we might see, because there's confusion as to what this provides, we might see a few more cases presented and a few more instances where DFEH is called upon to resolve these things, and therefore they may need some additional personnel assistance. It's my hope and expectation that we will be able to do with this bill what we've all been working collectively to do on equal pay, and that is have all the stakeholders sit down together and figure out a way to make this process work, and then to notify both employers and employees that this is how the process will work. I anticipate that because there are 9 other states that have done this, and again, the sky hasn't fallen there, that we can make this happen if we have the will to do it. There is a process of mediation available. If DFEH finds merit to the complaint, then the case is referred to a mandatory mediation. The hope is that in between then, because we know this works, and as the chamber acknowledged, most employers recognize the value of giving their workers this kind of benefit, but not all employers do. And I'm reminded, Senator, when we had our retreat last year and we had a group of women professionals come in and talk, one of them talked about how her sister had just come back from taking her leave, unprotected, but her family leave to bond with a new child, and the day she walked back into the office, she was fired. And I recall the sort of the response from us as we're sitting there face to face with a woman who's had this real life experience, and that's why so many people are unwilling to use their paid family leave, because they don't know whether or not that job's going to be there. So an employee has the right to go through this process. They can bypass it by requesting a right to sue letter. However, nothing bars them from still attempting to resolve that dispute either before or after filing a claim through mediation options. Anybody in this room who's had a child knows the last thing they want to do when they're trying to deal with a newborn who hasn't figured out that you're supposed to sleep at night and be up during the day and vice versa, and that you don't have to eat every 2 hours, but some babies do, that the most important thing a parent is trying to deal with during those initial stages of a baby's life is welcoming them into the world, providing them with the food and the sustenance and the experience that they need to grow up to be wonderful involved human beings. So I still find this almost incredible, but I suggest that if we look back, those of us who've had children lucky enough, or if you are still talking to your kids, lucky enough to have born them and to have raised them, these are critically important moments in a baby's life and in a parent's life. And with that, I would ask that you take this when the appropriate time this bill able to come off suspense. You.
Any additional comments or questions from committee? Seeing and hearing none, Senator Jackson, we'll take that as your close.
Thank you very
much. Objection, we move this item to the suspense file.
Thank you, Senator Lawrence. Thank you, members.
Thank you. Members, we're going to open up the pending item we have. That is SB 158. That is a due pass recommendation to the Senate floor. Secretary, please call the absent members.
Bell? Bell, aye. Bradford?
Aye.
Bradford, aye. Nielsen?
Currently 6-0. We'll keep it open to allow Senator Nielsen to add on. Thank you, members. Members, at this point, we're going to move along our agenda and take up those items that are candidates for suspense where members have waived presentations, beginning with SB 19, Senator Hill. That's SB 19, Senator Hill. Witnesses in support, witnesses in opposition. Finance is not here. With comments or questions from committee? Seeing, hearing none, without objection, we move this item to the suspense file. Moving on to Senator Wiener's items, SB 148, witnesses in support.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members. Nicole Rice, California Manufacturers and Technology Association, here just to render our support for the bill. Thank you.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members. Jason Bryan on behalf of the California Growers Association in support. Thank you.
Thank you. Additional witnesses in support. Witnesses in opposition. Comments or questions from committee? Seeing and hearing none, without objection, we move this item to the suspense file. Moving on to file item to SB 239 by Senator Weiner. Witnesses in support.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members. Gregory Kramer on behalf of Planned Parenthood Affiliates of California in support.
Thank you. Witnesses in opposition. Comments or questions from committee? Seeing and hearing none, without objection, we move this item to the suspense file. Moving on to Senator Mitchell's item, SB 190. Witnesses in support, please come forward.
Thank you, Mr. Chair members. Christopher Castrillo on behalf of the City and County of San Francisco and the Office of Mayor Ed Lee in support.
Hi, Rachel Liebman from the W. Hayward Burns Institute in strong support. Thank you.
Dave Nielsen, California Alliance of Child and Family Services, support.
Witnesses in opposition. Comments or questions from committee? Seeing and hearing none, without objection, we move this item to the suspense file. Moving on to Senator Bell's item, SB 191. Witnesses in support, please come forward. Witnesses in, oh, there you go.
Dave Nielsen, California Alliance of Child and Family Services, support.
Thank you, Ms. Chair. Christopher Castrillo on behalf of the California Academy of Child and Adolescent Psychiatry in support.
Thank you. Witnesses in opposition. Comments or questions from committee? Seeing and hearing none, without objection, we move this item to the suspense file. Moving on to SB 287, Senator Dodd. Witnesses in support. Feel free to linger closer to the microphone.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Chair. Christopher Castrillo on behalf of the Solano County Board of Supervisors in support.
Witnesses in opposition. Comments or questions from committee? Seeing and hearing none, without objection, we move this item to the suspense file. Moving on to Senator Hernandez's SB 294. Witnesses in support, please come forward.
Peter Kellison on behalf of the California Hospice and Palliative Care Association, source of the bill and in support. Briefly on the fiscal, this bill is intended to be a cleanup to recent legislation that permitted the coverage of palliative care by hospice providers. Unfortunately, the existing law at the time only permitted hospice programs to provide for preliminary palliative care services, so this legislation would simply allow hospice programs to perform what is already authorized to be covered and paid for.
Thank you.
Autumn Ogden-Smith on behalf of the American Cancer Society Cancer Action Network, also in strong support.
Witnesses in opposition. Finance. Comments or questions from committee? Seeing and hearing none, without objection, we move this item to the suspense file. Moving on to Senator Mendoza's 299. Witnesses in support, please come forward. Witnesses in opposition.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Craig DeLuz on behalf of the Firearms Policy Coalition. We just believe that this measure in particular is going to create so many it's going to create so many exemptions, and it's going to be so confusing that we believe that this measure is going, in addition to the fact that it requires forms and notifications to the via the Department of Justice, that, well, they're having a difficult time keeping up with forms and notifications as it is. We just believe that this measure, while it is intended to make things easier, we believe that it'll make things a lot more confusing and potentially put more folks at risk of being having to deal with law enforcement as they potentially violate this measure. So, for those reasons, we ask that you hold this measure. Thank you.
Thank you. Additional witnesses in opposition. Comments or questions from committee? Seeing and hearing none, without objection, we move this item to the suspense file. Moving on to SB 318, Senator Portantino. Witnesses in support, please come forward.
Thank you, Ms. Chair. Christopher Castrillo on behalf of the California Faculty Association in support.
Witnesses in opposition. Comments or questions from committee? Seeing and hearing none, without objection, we move this item to suspense file. Moving on to Senator Anderson's item, SB 336. Witnesses in support. Witnesses in opposition. Questions or comments from committee? Seeing and hearing none, without objection, we move this item to the suspense file. Moving on to Senator Wessel's SB 357. Witnesses in support. Witnesses in opposition. Comments or questions from committee? Seeing and hearing none, without objection, we move this item to the suspense file. Moving on to Senator Allen's item, SB 436. Witnesses in support.
Karen Sarkisian with the California Chamber of Commerce in support.
Danny Kando-Kaiser on behalf of Common Sense Kids Action in support.
Mr. Chair, members, Nicole Rice, California Manufacturers and Technology Association. We are actually support, if amended, to include language that would expand the subject areas, to include also technology and engineering as part of the STEM curriculum. We've been working with the author's office. We're confident that we're going to be able to get to a resolution, but as of today, we are still support, if amended. Thank you.
Thank you. Witnesses in opposition? Questions or comments from committee? Seeing and hearing none, without objection, we move this item to a suspense file. Moving on to my item, SB 463, witnesses in support, witnesses in opposition, comments or questions from committee. Seeing and hearing none, without objection, we move this item to suspense file. Moving on to Senator Atkins' item, SB 625, witnesses in support, witnesses in opposition, comments or questions from committee. Seeing and hearing none, without objection, we move this item to a suspense file. Members, that is the last item on our agenda. We are going to open up our pending item to allow Senator Nielsen to add on. This is SB 158, a due pass recommendation to the Senate floor. Secretary, please call the absent members.
Nielsen?
Aye.
Nielsen, aye.
7-0, that item is out. That concludes our agenda for today. Thank you, members.